Welcome to Starfleet Universe Oracle. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I've been SWP Online, Dead Come Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Join us with a talk test every Thursday starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. Call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. Or, for the best online experience, you can go to twitch.tv, that's twitch.tv/SFUOnCall, and you'll find us there. You'll be able to chat with us, especially if you're right here during the live broadcast. And otherwise, you can see the last video, which is, obviously, have my lovely face. That's going to be unedited, so you can see any failings and foibles. So, enjoy. And then you need to contact me for any reason. My email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you want to follow me on Twitter, you can look at the podcasting account. That's sfuoncall. Also, you can follow me on my personal account, which is Paul France. PaulFranz. There's no T in that. And of course, Franz Games. FranzGames. Again, there's no T in that. And of course, if you want to follow me on Blue Sky, I have an account there, which is Paul P. Franz. I think Blue Sky, that social, or something like that. I figured exactly the spelling at this moment in time. Also, I've got my own domain set up there, too. I have not tried it out to see how it works, make sure it works right. So I wasn't going to give that out until I had that down pat. Moving on and forward, and of course, the lovely TalkCast, Guest Tendo podcast, available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from ADB this week. This continuation of last week when it comes to ADB, it still has that sale going on. 10% off of everything that's on the shopping cart. It runs from, of course, today, which is the 26th, all the way through January 1st of next year. So if you want to take advantage of that 10% off of everything on the shopping cart, go on there now, especially if you're hearing this after the fact. Most probable. But anyway, moving on and forward, the Founder Online Store this week is, of course, we're sticking with the Starfleet Times. I just want to tell you about the different issues of the Starfleet Times, and that's 31 through 35. $7.95 normally, but given the 10% off, it's on sale for $7.26. I think I got that right. That looks wrong because I sworn it was like $7.16. Forgive me. But moving onward, issue number 31, that was the Sig Variants, another Omega Sector race, Terminant Rules Test. Not sure what that means, what that is. And of course, Zendarian and Vudar Tactics. On issue number 32, they were dealing Redani, sorry, fighters. If you want to see the Redani, see issue number 24. Sorry. Combo hulled Lyran ships, like the Arctic Lion CW, war cruiser. Limping Cat. Heavy cruiser, the Manchurian Tiger, the Battle Cat, and the House Cat. Interesting. There are some light dreadnoughts for both the Klingons and the Zinni. In issue number 33, they have some heavy dreadnoughts in the Fred, Rom, and Gorn. Weird general warships, the Fed turret cruiser, that actually sounds interesting. The Klingon E3X. Wow, we did actually turn an E3 into an X cruiser. Don't think so. But anyway, the Romulan sniper frigate, the Gorn Bubble Dreadnought, and the Kari Multi-Turret Cruiser. And any of you remember the Kari, that was a Module C4 race, sorry, Empire, forgive me, which I think they're basically, all their ships have a turret, like a tank. Obviously, Kari, it's diverse, the spelling, you'll know who they were talking about at that moment in time in history. In our history. But anyway, going on to issue number 34, three playtest scenarios for the Gorn ISC and Ryan Andrew, ooh, I gotta look at that one, the Fed ROM Q ship, an obscure old ROM variants, including the Battle Eagle, the BHB, the King Falcon Heavy Mauler, the Screech Owl, and the Snipe C. And issue number 35, the Soldier, a new race for the Mega Sector Complete rules were included. Obviously, that's something that if you already have the Omega rules, obviously don't really need that. But with all five of those, I'm sure there's one that can be very interesting, including, in my mind, the tournament rules test and also some of the combo hold Lyrans, which would be very interesting ships indeed, possibly even one of those playtest scenarios. Moving onward and forward to the SBL9 tournament, the Sapphire Star 18 tournament. It's right now, it is stuck because of Patrick has been out, but and also Stephen McCann, which the matchup I was waiting for, needs to drop out because of medical reasons. He's just going to be busy with some medical stuff, and he won't have time to actually play. So we're looking for his replacement. Everyone's saying take Jack Taylor. We'll just have to wait and see. Moving on forward, on the online client, I fixed some issues yesterday when it comes to some issues that the players have identified. I'm hoping to resolve them. They are resolved. It's just that I'm hoping to ship an updated release ASAP. Also, things have slowed down a little bit when it comes to that issue. Then that I lost two of my release machines, both one Windows machine, because I use a VM running on a Mac, and that Mac machine. It's not that I lost the machine. It's just that everything runs off a USB hub. My boot drive, everything is on the USB hub. And so is everything that's set up for the software and all that is on that USB hub, because that's my boot drive. Well, I'm sorry, when I'm talking about the USB hub, I'm talking about it internal to the computer itself. This is not a little external box. This is internal to the computer itself, that it died. It allows me to admit die, because I plug in anything to that, it doesn't. I do have a USB-C, USB-A, but I need to see how I can do this on a USB-A, because I'm probably need a good connector and try that first, because that will get me up and running more quickly. Another possibility, and I clearly want to avoid that, which is getting a new Mac Mini. Then this has to be a 2018 version, so it's Intel based, you know. So sometimes I need an older Mac. I don't want the latest and greatest. You want the older one. But anyhow, moving onward and forward, when it comes to the library, first thing, Starfleet Warlord, there's going to be a new game starting next year. I will be sending out the emails probably tomorrow, because I have been delaying it, and I really should have sent it out 3 days ago. But Christmas came up to me. Christmas came up to me. I got busy with Christmas, okay? And that happened. So I'll send out the email with that. Also, when it comes to the libraries, I've not added any updates to the library. There are updates that are sitting in my inbox that I need to process and put them out there. Forgive me for delaying on that. And with that, that is the news for this week. That is me, yes, the one of all Paul fans, welcoming you to the Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, you got me, of course. And you got Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
And that's it. That's all the people we have currently on the watching or hosting or whatever you want to call it. Okay. Da, 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 and just don't mind me. No. Ah. Okay. No. Don't mind me for a moment. Let me just do it like this, like this. That's what I want. Okay. The Twitch client is just kind of goofy. I want to be in the room and actually be able to see the chat in the room. And this it brought me up. And then Twitch, oh, here, you want to watch yourself? Like, yes, I do. But I want to see the chat room too. I want to see the chat. Oh. Now that's all set. Okay. For those of you watching my lovely face and listening to me, yes, it's one of those awkward starting the podcast thing. So is what it is at this point. If you get to hear me fumbling around. Like a fool. But I know you don't need me to tell you that. That's kind of obvious. So tonight, what I was going to, at least we're going to start off with, we might sidetrack for other topics, especially because this topic might be quite short. And then it's just a quick, well, definitely brief, given that there wasn't much products put out by ADB this year, a quick year in review kind of thing, and I'm trying to, I did my best to go back and obviously I have not put out that much either when it comes to different products, different versions, different releases. So and I realized that when I went back and actually look at my news feed, so it's like yeah, I so far I've been doing like a release like once a year. I'm hoping to up that for next year. Just have to wait and see, you know. Important thing is finding the time. I'll just have to wait and see. But anyway, okay. So this is gonna be a year review when it comes to not just S&P Online, but also of course ADB, which is the major player here. I'm just peon. But anyway, so starting out, this actually was last year, but I'm gonna add it to this year just because of I don't think I mentioned it much. I might have mentioned it last year, but I want to mention it again this year just to make a point of it, which was I updated the Starfleet Warlord site. I converted it from what it was to more of a static site. And I apologize. One of the things I was hoping to do was to make it easier to update, which it is easier to update. I agree there. I just haven't set up the process so that it makes it, you know, that I set it up beforehand and just go, okay, click a button and boom, it updates. I haven't done that part, which makes it so that I have not been updating the website as much as I possibly can, especially when it comes to the updates of what games are being played and what turns they're on and so forth. And I need to get back to some learner games that are currently running on. I got two new players, which is exciting to see. Moving onward to April, which is the next thing, which is, you know, obviously that means there wasn't much happening in February or March. In April, actually, ADB released Federation Commander Booster Pack number 39, which was a collection of all leaderships, Romans, Gorn, and ISCs. Now, fleets. Now, this to me is exciting in that I'm not sure, to be honest, I'm not sure if these were new cards. My guess is this was a new booster pack made a collection of old cards. Cards that basically previously existed. Because I remember having a discussion with ADB about this, which is one thing because they put out, you know, the Gunboat release. I know it was over a year ago. The Gunboats for Federation Commander, But I remember at the time I discussed it with ADB, which is about getting new cards, new ship cards, because I'm kind of addicted to, I can put them down. I can not buy them anytime I want. There. But so the booster pack, you know, to me, it's exciting just because of, it's another booster pack that people can buy, a new product that they can buy. And is it made up of possibly old cards? Yes, but it's collection, a different collection of those. So it makes it easier to get those particular ships. So if you want to get all the leader ships for the Romulans, the Gorns, and IC fleets, all you have to do is buy one booster pack. Now, obviously, there's always the gotcha when it comes to Federation Commander and those cards, in that you need one card for each ship. And what ADB was good about what ADB did, which is, in theory, if you want to, you could actually photocopy those cards, in theory. Would you want to? Not really. This is not, because the thing is with Federation Commander, Federation Commander is not SFB. SFB, you would go in and you would just, you know, scribble off this, and this. The idea of the cards is that you can see the cards, you can see the energy allocation and so forth, because that's the big thing, is how much energy is, and that's publicly available. With SFB, the energy available is not publicly available. That is, you know, on the EA and so forth. So that's part of that. That's part of this. That one of those things that is secret. Which, obviously, the beauty of the cards is that it easily makes it so that you can track the energy right down the side of the card. So that's one of those beauties of Federation Commander, which makes things easier. Again, if we want to get back to one of the things that originally Federation Commander, like the Fleet Edition, was meant to do, which was, it was meant to speed things up, which we all know failed. Because the problem is that you decrease the amount of weapons and decrease the amount of defense. What you need to do is have it so that the amount of weapons was kept the same or a little bit higher, and cut back on the amount of defense. That if you want to go get things to go quickly, that's the way you do it. You know, I understand why you want to have it so fleet is like half of it, so it's still, the balances remain the same. But the problem is then you just have less power, you know, to destroy the other ships, and therefore it just takes the same amount of time. So, whatever. Moving on and forward, starting with May, and I have to say starting with May because of, there were multiple updates here, which is for the Call to Arms Starfleet 1.2. We're updated. There are multiple books of the Starfleet book 1.2 that were updated through the oncoming months from that. Give me a sec here. Switch real here real quick. And that is, it started with, oops, I'm looking back there. It's not even, it's further back than that. Okay. Yeah, back in, this is June. Okay. Here's May. May, it started with the Federation roster card pack. That was updated. Then we had the Klingon roster card pack, which was done in May. Then we had the Romulan ship roster card pack that was done in June. And then we have the Zinni ship roster card pack, which was done in June. Another one done in June is the military bases ship card. That was, again, instead of in June. Another one in the end of June was the Gorn ship roster pack. So, you know, there was a lot of updates. And also in August, we had the Orion ship card roster pack, which was revised, and August, the Tholian ship card roster pack, and and that was it when it comes to the ship roster packs. So, but you know, so it started in May, But over the month, there were multiple revisions, multiple updates to those ship cards packs. Now, I'm not going to go through every single change that was in all those, I just want to point out that was updates. There weren't new products. It was just an update to the current product, which is, in my mind, it's always nice to have updates to, especially when it comes to fixing things that were definitely not broken, but were wrong. When it comes to, having to incorporate in any errata like, oh, this was the Phaser 1 chart was not for Phaser 1, it was for Phaser 2, that kind of thing. I don't know what those card packs look like, so I'm talking out of my butt, basically. So if I'm getting it wrong, I apologize. Now, one of the big things that actually happened when it comes to ADB and SFB and all that in our universe, actually was not from ADB. It was in July the shutdown of Shapeways. That the current major distributor and creator of those miniatures, Shapeways, shut down. In which case, ADB had no way of shipping miniatures to people other than, of course, we still have the old,
old blister packs?
I'm thinking about the lead. Was it lead or?
Yeah, the old blister packs.
Yeah, the old blister packs. So if they had those in stock, you could get those. But still, of course, because Shapeway has had an awesome selection of miniatures. That's what was used. And at the moment, there's been no news about a replacement for Shapeways. They are looking because they back in.
Weren't you saying last week that Shapeways is coming out of bankruptcy and they're going to be going back into business, but they were modifying how they were going to do their thing with people?
Yeah, that was definitely part of the history. But let me get back to some of the history when it comes to replacement for Shapeways, which is back in October that he posted on Facebook saying, we're making progress in search for a 3D printer that can handle the files from our creators that are from now defunct Shapeways. And actually they have some sample minis that they got printed out. The whiteness. using white is not exactly a great color for the mold. They were showing off the 7,000 Ramin Fleet Hawk, core collection, which was the Condor, the Firehawk, the Royal Hawk, Sparrowhawk, Skyhawk, and Seahawk. They basically wanted them to print out a sample so they could know what does it look like. And the biggest issue people seem to have, let me just double check because there's only one. They say some people are just saying it looks fine. Obviously, one person mentioned how white just kind of washes details out, which I kind of agree with that. The thing is, when you paint it, it's not going to be white anymore. So, if you don't want to paint it, then yeah, you don't want it white. But that was back in October. I have not heard any progress when it comes to getting a replacement. I'm hoping they'll get a replacement, as I think we all do. Moving onward and forward to September, the Capsule number 53 was then made available on various ebook sites, Warehouse 23, Word Game Vault. What's the last one? Word Game Vault and then the Drive Through RPG. That was it. I'm pretty sure that they're available. Those personally, just to let you know, if you want to get ebooks, electronic versions of the rules and modules and things like that, please, please, please go to Warehouse 23. To me, they're the best. Just because of, one, I trust Steve Jackson games. They've been good quality. Also, I think I remember, like, War Game Vault actually watermarks the PDFs. While Warehouse 23, they don't watermark the PDFs, which is nice. For those who actually buy the products and don't want to have watermarkings, because Lord knows, I remember many, many years ago on SFB when I tried to add watermarking, to the ships, I got massive blowback from players who said, this makes it unusable, because I basically had it at an angle copyrighted. So that if you try to screenshot it to capture the ship, you would know it's copyrighted and it's not exactly as nice. That's why ADB actually came up with the idea of third generation SSDs. So that basically, even if people steal it, it's useless. You know, they do screenshots, it's useless. So moving on, we're in the forward. One of the things that happened in September, another thing that happened in September was the Gamers of Winter. And part of that, to me, the reason why I mark this at all was because I actually ran a demo. There was no one there, but the good thing about running a demo for Klingon Armada is that I had to learn how to play Klingon Armada.
Mm-hmm. And it's Gamers of Summer, by the way.
It was Gamers of Summer, yeah, I forgot. I'm sorry.
That's Labor Day weekend, yeah.
Yeah, it's summer.
Gamers of Winter is in 2 months. I'm just wanted to throw that distinction out for you.
Thank you. Thank you for reminding me of that. I screwed up there. So it's Gamers of Summer that had that, which made me, and of course, the aftermath of that was for the actual podcast, which allowed me to do a two-parter on Klingon Armada. So people could understand and kind of having a brief introduction into what Klingon Armada was about, how it played, how it was different from Starfleet Battles or Federation Commander, especially because damage allocation, which is completely different, how the damage of the weapons is, how you roll the damage, how the ranges and so forth, because of one thing, just a reminder for those who weren't listening at that time. One of the things when it comes to Armada and Daniel Katz's Armada system is that you have ranges. So your damage is based, still has ranges, which is short range, medium range, and long range. Versus like the phasers in SFB or Federation Commander, you've got that kind of ranges, but you have a matrix of die rolls for each weapon, and then you can have it so like range one, it's like 7654433, something like that when it comes to the amount of damage. While in the case of everything from Armada is not adjusted like that, it's more of a hit weapon. Either it hits or misses. And then you have damage based on whether it hit or missed. So that's one of those things that is not in Starmada, which is the whole idea of a graduated, i.e. that the weapon does not miss, but the amount of damage it does is based on the die roll itself. And just a quick mention in this whole thing, just because of it had been so long since I did this, which was the new SFB Online tutorial to show people how to play Starfleet Battles using the SFB Online client. And that's something that I had set for a number of videos that I was going to do, and I forgot what happened. Something happened and it got sidetracked because of other things that I got busy doing, because I'm sorry, SFB Online is not my only thing. I wish I could not have a day job and just run SFB online all the time and focus on that and Starfleet Warlord and so forth. But I can't do that. So anyway, moving over to November, and that was when I released an updated version of the client. Unfortunately, found out that there was a problem with the installer and using the latest version of the JDK with the old installer creator. So for when it comes to Windows. So I need to redo that, and I haven't got around to actually fixing that and actually doing all of that. I need to talk to my youngest and have it so, because I got them a brand new computer and, you know, a nice new PC so they could play games on the PC. But part of that deal, so that I can basically make the business expense, that you can use it for creating installers and testing things when it comes to Windows and SFB Online. But all I gotta do is I gotta sit down. I gotta get, we have to install, in this case, TypeVNC, so I can work on it remotely and just have them turn on the computer in their bedroom, and then have it so that I can work on it from my computer here in my office. So I just gotta get that done so I can do that, and so I can fix that, because I need to fix that. I should be able to do that this upcoming week or so forth, because I've taken off. Well, my company shut down for like a week, and I've taken an extra like 3 days, so it's like almost 2 weeks of vacation. So I should have some time in that time frame in the next week to work on that, and hopefully I can. As I reported in the news. Newest portion is that also ran into an issue where the Mac that I have, kind of part of it died, and so that I can no longer use it the way I previously configured. So there's two ways of doing it. One, it's moving to another port, which means I have to get adapters, because the one drive is a USB-C and the other connectors are USB-A. So have to wait and see, because, and basically the internal USB hub inside of the computer is kind of dead. That's what it looks like. But anyway, moving on and forward. Now, one thing that happened, which Doug was bringing up, is of course Shapeways came back from the dead. But from my understanding, and no one's corrected me, and of course, who would correct little me? You know,
I would.
Well, I know you would if you knew there was something to correct me on.
I'm sorry, was that a rhetorical question? Sorry, go on.
No, it wasn't actually a rhetorical question, because if Stepway said, no, you're wrong. And the academics, they actually noticed me, which is, I'm like a little drop of sand in the bucket of YouTube.
I'm sure there's tons of people pissed with them.
Oh, I'm sure.
Deeply disappointed.
Yeah, well, the big question about, you know, Shapeway is now back from the dead. The big issue, which is, from my understanding, From the sounds of the press releases, sounds of everything, and we've already gone through this in a past episode of SFU on Call, which is, no, I don't remember what episode that was. I'm sure you'll find out. Just look for Shapeways, and I'm sure you'll find it. And that is that. My understanding from what it sounds like, well, it sounded like from the press releases and everything, is that they want to deal with businesses. So business, they don't want, I don't think they're going to have like the old Shapeways where they actually would sell directly to the customer. Yeah, they store for businesses, but they sold it directly, the product directly to the customers. And my feeling about it, and I'm saying feeling because I don't know, and this is my guess, which is that most probably what they're going to want to do is to make it so that it's profitable. Because my guess is that Shapeways previously, they worked on an individual basis when it comes to printing. Instead of trying to print mass quantities, they printed limited run quantities. So given that, that makes it more expensive when it comes to handling. They have to have more people working on individual printers to do what they want to do. Versus if they can get it so that they have more robust and commercial 3D printers that can actually print out a number of the miniatures, possibly even going to the point of not using 3D printing. Maybe using 3D printing to print the molds and then do molds for it. Or, you know, do print out the models in plastic and then make a mold from the plastic model, which always you lose detail when you do that. But that's one way of doing it. But the idea being that I think that what, from the sounds of it, Shapeways might be looking for business-to-business transactions so that, you know, okay, you have to order maybe 10 or 100 or whatever. I'm not sure how many. But
would you like my quick take on this?
Just a moment. Okay. And so that the business will have to buy that, and so that they can actually do multiple, they can actually do runs of a single miniature. So, go.
My take on it is pretty simple. They're a print-on-demand service. You know, and basically, you know, like Amazon has print-on-demand printing services where you can buy a book. They print your book out, they mail it to you. Whereas what they're probably looking at is it's going to cost them the same to run a batch. If they're using a 3D printer, they're just printing out X number of models and then sorting them out afterwards. But they're looking at it from an efficiency standpoint of why run the machine once to make 1, 2, 3, 4 models for 3 or 4 individual people ordering from them. Then they have to separate those, package them, mail them all individually off to those 4 different people for single orders, when they could have the parent company that owns the IP order 20 of those things in one batch shot, cheaper for them to make, and they're only shipping that to one person, and then the parent company is responsible for the sorting and selling off to other people. So because they're coming out of a bankruptcy and they've probably got a lot of corporate decision making going on about how to save money and do things cheaper, that's probably what you're going to be seeing. Whereas from a business perspective, I really like the Shapeways idea of being able to go there as an individual person and buying miniature X, Y, or Z. But on the other hand, they had some mismanagement that drove them into bankruptcy. They screwed up on their math or whatever it was. And now they're paying a price. And everybody else is paying a price for that. And that price is, it sounds like they're not going to be doing the individual orders for people, that you're going to have to go back to ADB to say, hey, ADB, I want miniatures X, Y, and Z, and ADB has to have them in stock now.
Right.
So ADB is going to have to go back to Shapeways and say, oh, we need to stock up with, you know, whatever the minimum bulk order is for miniature X, miniature Y, miniature Z. And it's going to end up being like when they were dealing with lead miniatures before, way back in the day, where, you know, they had a company that they were familiar with.
Bruce Grawl.
They got their bulk order in, they stuck them in the warehouse, you ordered it from them, they stuck it in the thing and mailed it to you.
Right. Right, or they made the blister packs, you know.
Yeah, it's like we're in the age of everything on demand, and they're taking a step backwards because they screwed up their business model. But they're still there. I mean, that's the one good part about it. So maybe someday down the line, they might go back into that relationship once they figure out how to do it in a more profitable basis. So there you go. That's my take on it.
Yeah. Basically, you're thinking the same way. You read it the same way I read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I
may have stated it a bit differently.
Mm-hmm. Agree. But yeah.
a different insight on it. Yeah. There you go. But yeah. Okay, so next cow to be. Next horse in review.
Yeah. I said horse in review, dead horse. That beat a dead horse. Yeah. Agreed.
Especially in year in review, we just talked about this last week.
Yeah. And obviously, one thing that is important, I think, for ADB is that, and this happened recently, so I'm still including it just because of the one thing. Okay, I'll mention it here, which is that ADB, Steve Cole has some health issues, and therefore it made it harder for him to work. Because he's old school, that he really doesn't do work at home. He goes in the office to work. I'm not sure if he could, in theory, work from home. I don't know. I am not going to even
speculate.
Thank you about it, but. While he was dealing with his hip issue and recovering from the surgery, he didn't do much work. But coming into this December, things started ramping up some. And one of the things that ramped up was that they were able to find a small batch counters place that produced I'm assuming pretty good quality. Now, my only concern about that at all, I'm going to look at this for a moment. See if I can see it in here, because I don't see the issue on these. And that is, there was reported an issue with some of the counter sheets that got shipped out had some manufacturing errors, on where there's like a white blob on one of the Federation counters on the counter sheet. And people immediately replied and Facebook said, tell ADB this is not the quality that that normally happens with ADB. They might have messed up, they didn't notice it. And when they shipped it, so they'll be happy to send you a perfect counter sheet, and you just send the old one back, that kind of thing. So I'm hoping that that was the one-off incident when it comes to that. But the good thing about having the small batch manufacturer for counter sheets. It's kind of like print on demand, but like anything else, it's like what we were talking about with Shapeways, which is you're still small batches, but they're still batches. As in, ADB has to put an investment into buying a batch of counter sheets. They can't just print out one counter sheet. They need to print out, 10 or 100 the same counter sheet. And that's what the, and that was they had to buy. And after they had them printed out and created, and therefore they have an investment in that, then they have to go sell them and to make their profit back, which is one of those things that I think ADB really did well when they came back after they divested themselves from Task Force Games, you know, they separated themselves from Task Force Games, where, you know, they took control of the actual publishing of their own games instead of having it so that Task Force Games printed their games, which is they realized that they needed a new approach. Because previously you would actually have a printer print out 1,000 copies of the game. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to print out on demand as many copies as we need when it comes to the rules and things that we actually can print. The covers, obviously, they have to buy in batches. But in the counter sheets, again, have to buy in batches. But the modules, anything else that was basically rule books, you know, books, you can actually print it out on demand. And therefore, save on when it comes to the amount of money you have to invest at that time. You just gonna make sure, of course, they had to invest in the proper printers, but they did. They spent good money on those printers because from the looks of it, they bought, you know, high quality printers that can print out them really quickly and were good quality and that they lasted a long time. I know it wasn't this year, a few years ago, where they actually had to replace one of their printers because it died, basically. But anyway, that's one of those good things that happened in that latter part of the year, so that what has run out counter sheets, they now can print out those counter sheets and be able to sell copies of those products once more. Because things like, let me bring it up real quick. I can't tell, I'm on Facebook, but that's where they announced some of the stuff. That is, they had everything that a Federation Commander Klingon Border, Graduation, and Klingon Space were now available, but they didn't have counter sheets. But they placed orders for the counter sheets, and when they got them in, now they could actually sell those once more, because previously they didn't have the counter sheets, so they couldn't sell those products. Same for Starfleet Battle's basic set. They had everything else but the counter sheets. So I think at one point they actually had to remove Starfleet Battle's basic set from their online store. So they you can't put it up for sale if you can't
sell it, yeah.
Right, if you can't actually ship it.
I'm just saying, wow.
Yeah.
That's all.
So that's one of the things that the small batch printers for creating the counter sheets that allowed ADB to do. And they were fortunate that they were able to find somebody, which was cool. I know that was one thing they were discussing on the discussion board. And I brought that up previously about it. Don't mind me. Asked me to do the art ice. Oh, okay. Sorry, I was just looking at, this will be something for the new year, which is rumors of war when it comes to the Starmada variant of Starfleet Battles, you know, i.e. Using their rules. Now, I get thinking about that and it just worries me. which is Andromedans in the Starmada context, because it's bad enough in the SMB context because of it's a little different the way things work. But when it comes to Daniels, there is no concept of energy that's used, you know, so it's that's makes things more difficult.
Well, it'll just be interesting to see how he handles it. Mm-hmm. It'll probably just be a straight up damage and blocking of transporters and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
With the potential for catastrophic failure.
True.
And then all that damage hitting anyways.
Yeah, that's you. Okay. Okay. That's the weblog account. Hey, Steve Cole. Yeah. That was where he posted a lot of stuff. Just looking for that. Okay. No, I think he moved a lot of stuff. Maybe that's what happened. Probably did. Okay. Anyway, I'm not going to spend time just looking for it. Which is where Steve Cole talks about. Where he talks about the counters, printers, you know. Okay. It's Mr. Clark asking about the tournament, which I mentioned basically it's currently paused because we're waiting for Steve Petrick to get back, and Steve McCann is dropping out on that, just a quick note, because of health issues in that, nothing serious, it's just that it's going to take a lot of time, which in which case he doesn't have time to play, you know, play his game. So but anyway, that's about it when it comes to the news for things that happened over the past year that I can remember. Is there anything of interest, Doug, that you remember that I missed?
Well, there were several tournaments you were in that had interesting outcomes that basically resembled a windshield and a bug. in a very literal sense, because you were driving exactly that kind of ship.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, Sapphire Star 18, I got totally crunched on that. Obviously, there was two other Sapphire Star tournaments that ran this year. We got Sapphire number 16. Actually, let me look that up real quick, which is, did I play in that one? Yes, I did. And, oh, yeah, that one. That was, I played in the LDR again, and I flew against a Firehawk, and I got crunched on that. I don't remember what I did. Well, how I got crunched.
Oh, in the LDR?
Yeah.
I remember that. Basically, he outplayed you. Yeah. In that, like, he just kind of was able to outguess you, like, a little bit at a time, right in the crucial spots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you ended up getting Mitzia'd to death, if I remember kind of correctly on mm-hmm. that.
And then we have, of course, the Celtorian versus Fed, which I, in 17, which I lost against the Fed, which is difficult, which I remember you at that time complaining that I wouldn't stick with one tactic, you know, wouldn't stick with a strategy.
That seems to be the thing. It's like you had a battle plan in all three of those. And then, you know, like the old saying goes, You know, the plans fail at first contact with the opposition there.
Right.
But you kept wiffling on back and forth on what you were doing, and your opponent kind of stuck to their plan, and that was the huge difference in all three.
Yeah. Well, actually, the third one, I stuck to my plan. It's just that I made some mistakes. My plan being trying to avoid getting close. I keep distance as much as I possibly could. Now,
well, he was getting really lucky on those hits too.
Yeah,
fusions are not exactly a mid-range weapon, and he was mitzying you to death with them.
Yeah, well,
once he got a shield down on you, he right. managed to stay on it, and that's what ended up killing you.
And well, also me turning my ship. To bring my down shield facing him.
That did not help.
Yeah, that's when he fired the fusions.
Helped him.
From the Hydran, but first the ones from the right side, and then he turned to get the left side ones because of a center line on that.
Did you get internals on him?
Nope, I didn't get past the shield.
I didn't think so.
I got damage on the shield number one and shield number six.
Yeah.
The idea was to plink him to death. Slowly get, get through his shields. Because if you stay at range, you're going. That's the only way you can get through the shield is plinking the shields. It's going to take two or three turns to get through the shields.
Yeah, but you still have to get the same shield, and he managed to spread your fire out, too.
Yep, that's very true.
If I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. It's a concentration of force issue. And he got a shield down on you, and you showed him that shield a second time, and he got to shoot it and shoot it and shoot it. And,
yep.
Yeah, you know, he exceeded your damage repair capacity.
Right, and so. It did not help that he had those fighters, which he was able to launch, and those were able to plunk down right on that down shield.
Well, he also managed to pull them in right before you were going to shoot them, too.
Right. Agreed. I mean, that
he had them out for a while, and just when you were finally tempted to shoot them, he pulled them right in. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It's like his timing was good. He saved his fighters because if they would have been out that impulse, one of those fighters was going to, at the very least, it was going to die. Crippled. It was going to get crippled and then die because of if it got to that point, his ship moves, that fighter dies.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and all you had to do is cripple the fighters for them to die on the next movement impulse.
Right, exactly. So. Hopefully we'll get 18 going again. One thing that Steve Cole just mentioned about 18, for those of you interested, and that is that the matter of the whole issue with the dropping out of Steve McCann, and also there was Ronald was looking for a judgment on something that happened during the game, and he didn't want to continue on without first having the judge make a ruling on what happened. And Steve Cole said the matter is being reviewed. That Steve Cole wasn't the one reviewing it, but it was mentioned in the last staff meeting. And I'm not sure how often they have a staff meeting, whether it's weekly or what. My assumption is that it's weekly. At least that's the way I would do staff meetings. I have it once a week. And obviously, just a note on upcoming events for the new year, which is, of course, going to be Gamers of Winter. Yes, actually, this time it's going to be Gamers of Winter, not Gamers of Summer. Gamers of Winter.
And we may still have Gamers of Summer yet later in the year.
Yep. Understood, but...
Oh, we do need to find a new venue, though, because they're not booking anything after March.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I love this place. Oh, you get, we're closing. What?
Well,
yeah,
there's not...
it's like,
well,
this is like an annoying pattern. It's like, but it's been like this for 16 years.
Right.
You know, it's like the closest we've ever come to like somebody just saying they don't like us was the Moose Club. And I think that was mainly just that manager.
Yeah. Wasn't that the one that they were ticked off that we didn't?
We had the winter problem with the heating.
Mm-hmm.
And we were playing in our jackets. Yes.
And
that was the Moose Club up in Marysville. This is a really nice building. But on the third year, I think it was, we were there. There was the manager said that one of our people flipped a switch just behind their stage, probably looking for lights.
Mm-hmm.
And that switch was an exhaust in the ceiling, and it sucked the air out of the building basically, and caused their heater to run out of oil that weekend, and that's why we were freezing. I kind of call bullshit on that, because he never showed us the video. He said he had it on video that one of our people did it.
Oh, okay.
It sounds to me like it's something that would be hard to see. But, especially from the way he described it. You know, plausible. Not enough to really argue about. But to me, it seemed like something that should have been caught by the venue. And, honestly, if it's sucking the heat out of the building and the heater's running 24/7, I'm sorry, you can bleep that part. If it's the building, if the heat's running 24/7 for the weekend, I don't see that it should have run out in that short of a time, or that their staff couldn't have noticed something wrong and tried to figure out what was the problem.
Yeah. You know, why was the it's
you know,
so cold?
Why are we out of heat on like Friday of a 3-day weekend? Or not Friday, but Saturday. We ran out of heat on Saturday.
Right.
And we were there for Saturday, Sunday, Monday, like, you know, typical weekend for us.
Mm-hmm.
And starting on Saturday, we were like all wearing our jackets and coats. That was the weirdest one.
Oh, agreed.
So, but other than that, it's literally been like venue saying, oh, we're revamping our space. You're welcome to come back afterwards. And the afterwards, once they've renovated the space, like Grantville,
right?
The hotel in Grantville, they basically doubled their prices.
That's understandable, but at the same time, we can't afford to be doubled.
Yeah, it's nice of you to actually fix your building after 20 years of it falling apart, but on the other hand, doubling your prices to make up for that expense doesn't exactly get you business back.
Right.
So...
I'm assuming at some point, you know, that they also looked at what other people were charging in the area, and they figured they could double their rates and still, you know, still be compete.
Managed to find a place. We still managed to find a place with a decent rate after that.
Mm-hmm.
That was just pure greed on their part. So, you know, there's a whole issue there. They just reached too much.
Yeah, well, true. It's possible that, you know, the question is what happened after that, because of, I know, obviously we're small. We're really small compared to most organizations. So the question is about when it comes to other organizations, did they also see the price?
I'll tell you straight up. I'll tell you what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is a lot of these places are used to renting out weddings. Yeah, they're used to renting out for weddings and parties and whatnot like that, where their daily price for the rental is usually what we're paying for the entire weekend, including Monday. That's a huge part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the other part is, you know, there's a lot of corporate things that will pay for that. You know, somebody has their special class thing for their corporate business where they're going to have 100 people in there from their corporation. You know, to them, it's a corporate expense. A couple thousand dollars a day means nothing. You know, to like IBM or, you know, insert other large, huge corporate business interest. So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the killer part of it. What it would take for us to have something like this to make me satisfied is, you know, a few patrons that just decide to say screw it and pull their money together and say, "Here's your budget, Doug." You know, and I get a place like the one across from where we're at that wants something ridiculous, like four times what we're paying. But for, you know, a larger space for sure, but it's much more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you start talking about larger events than us, even in the area, they're still paying out the nose. So, I don't know. I mean, there's a couple other semi-competing events that, you know, they're at least not on the same weekend as us usually.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they pay a lot. The issue is I just never had a huge chunk of money to put into advertising, you know, to make it a, you don't make something like, trying to think of the name of it. The one, you don't make something like the one in Philly with several thousand people coming to it overnight. You know, I mean, ours took a long time to grow from a few dozen people to over 100 at one point. And then, you know, having the scamdemic time frame, that hurt. That hurt a lot. We literally lost half our people to that. There are people that had came out to our event for a decade that haven't come back since the COVID thing ended. And, you know, that's literally about 40%, maybe 40% of our people
mm-hmm.
never came back after that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe we've had a few new people come in, a few extra small groups, but yeah, we'll see how it goes as far as the growth thing goes. And it's like, what are we going to do for a new space? I don't know. Do we go and find a another fire hall? I mean, it's like, I'd be okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
The only issue I have with it is actually getting them to do it, because when we were doing The one in Paxtonia.
Right.
I got that because, hey, I could that I could walk to that. It was a few blocks from where I was living at the time when we started there. And they gave us a good sweetheart rate because I'm a guy living in the neighborhood.
Right.
And old guy living in the neighborhood. And, you know, but when I've tried to talk to fire halls that are outside of where I live, I'm not getting any real good feedback from them. And part of that is we are competing with, you know, with them scheduling weddings and stuff like that in. And like I said, they'll charge $1,000 a day plus the whole big cleanup fee and everything else under the sun that they can to milk a wedding party. I should say to maximize their profit from a wedding party. And the wedding parties will just pay and pay and pay.
Yeah.
And we can't do that.
Oh, understood. And that's the funny part about wedding parties. And that is that some wedding party, some people are getting, are going, no, we're not having a wedding party. We're just having a gathering of folks. And we're just having a party, but it's not a wedding.
Yeah, like, they're still going to get stuck with rates. So.
Oh yeah, but the thing is, they do when they do that, they can get rates that are like a third of what a wedding is.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, and that's why it doesn't cost us the $1,000 a day because I'm not negotiating as a wedding party. I tell them exactly what we're doing, how we do it, why we do it, you know, and they're quite okay with it. So I haven't had really any problems in that particular vein. Although there was the one community center. What was that? Middle Paxton or something like that. That canceled on us 30 days out. Because they just decided they didn't want the event. And that's how we ended up in Grantville. Where we ended up being quite happy for several years.
Yeah, yeah, I agreed.
But it was still a scramble.
Oh yeah, well, you're expecting 30 days now.
A scramble. That came close to killing us. That was in our third or fourth year. We hadn't really had a. Wait, let me think about this. I would have to look at it. That might have been. I'm not sure if that was between the Moose Lodge and Grantville or if that was what put us into the Moose Lodge. I don't remember. That was so long ago, but it was very early on in the thing. Ugh. But yeah.
Yep.
If you want, why don't you post some pictures of your miniatures from like, because I found some when I was going through some old images, but I haven't done it yet. But you could do it if you want to post some images of your miniatures in use from when we were in Grantville on the Gamers thread on Facebook. There are actually some really nice images.
Right.
So there's that.
Okay, what year was it?
Oh, good Lord. 2010 time frame.
Okay. I just wanna...
That was a long time ago.
Wow. We got buried
one
in
of my
snow that
drops.
Year. I'm looking at some of my old photos, and I see that was the year we got buried. I was living in Sinking Spring, and we got buried.
Oh, in snow?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a few good winters out there. That was like, I think that was the one place where I actually had a room comped. because of the snow. 1 year. Because they were calling for the blizzard.
Yeah. If you're on Twitch, for those of you who are looking at the video, you'll see my wife's car and my car buried in like, oh, easily a few feet of snow.
Nice.
Yeah, this is when I dug out the cars, but I didn't actually remove the snow from the cars. I was just trying to keep up with the snow, you know, because I didn't actually own a snow blower at the time. I would borrow it from a neighbor. Kitties. Oh, this is yeah, one of my I got a picture of one of my neighbors digging me out. Was one big snow after another. I remember that one. Hey, Case, I got lots of pictures. If you look at my photo album, you'll see so many.
Oh, 2013, I
This one.
think.
Okay.
Yeah, I just found a convention images, Gamers of Winter convention 2013. And
Oh,
here
geez,
are some images.
I gotta delete those. I got some,
What? The basement of,
no, I take pictures of our shopping list. I think I have a picture from our shopping list from 2012. Mac and
Oh,
cheese,
good
half and
Lord.
half, shredded cheddar, frozen yogurt, and double stuffed Oreos.
You know what gets me going through some of these images
What?
is seeing people and how much they've changed over the years.
Yeah. Oh, that's weird.
There was Eric right there in an image, and oh my God, he looks so young.
Oh, understood. Oh, don't I know it?
And there's a couple of Klingons and a Fed.
Oh.
All out there on the minis map.
Sorry,
A
I'm looking
bunch
at
of
two.
red
I'm I'm
dice
still I'm
around
still
them.
back in 2012. Some of these pictures actually are of my daughters. Okay. Was it a summer or winter?
This
Okay.
was winter.
Okay, so Kitty, hi Kitties.
Let's see.
Oh, I remember this one. Oh my. 2012. My son was up in New Hampshire, and we actually rent. We there was a place that basically, I was a hotel, but it's more of an apartment that you rent out. And we actually made Christmas cookies with my son. It was cool. That was cool. Susie Joe Donuts.
There's a picture of you playing Titan with Barry standing next to you.
Okay.
I think Barry might have been playing as well. There was at least three of you playing. One of the handful of times you guys played Titan.
Oh.
Because that's a game that can take like forever. To say the
2000,
least.
2013, huh? Yeah, my mother died.
Your mom died in 2013 as well. And my mom passed away in August
Yeah, I have a picture of
2013.
I'm actually I have a couple of pictures of the headstone, and I took a picture of it because of this was back, I forget what day this was. Let me look, see if I can find the info real quick.
Cookies of
This was back in
Catan.
November. She died in June, but by November they still hadn't marked her headstone with her death year.
Oh.
And that's why it's like That's why I have a picture of it. I remember doing that. Okay, I don't see anything. What the heck is that? Oh,
let me
crabcakes.
Pull up Facebook.
Yeah, I got some pictures of my daughters on different dances, which is cool. Yeah. Woo! Effingham. Down to -9. Yikes. Oh, what's this from? Kitty, get the. What is this? I think this might have been from it. But this wasn't me. Done. Let's get rid of that. Yeah, was this when we were at the basement of the hotel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I still have. Yeah. Let me bring this up.
In the summertime, we were upstairs. In the wintertime, we were downstairs. And then I think there was one time where we had to do both.
Remember this guy?
Well, no. No, actually, both rooms upstairs.
Because for 2013, the guy who's staying in the corner, I forget why. And then
Nathan Maker.
Yeah, we had some. We're playing some miniatures game, which was Hexless.
Mm-hmm.
And someone brought their miniatures.
Yep.
It was beautiful. Oh boy. Okay.
7003A. That's the one. 7003A. There's an image of some miniatures.
Yay. Mm-hmm. I know there was one year that I remember we were upstairs in the one room where actually I was playing with the miniatures. I forget if I took any pictures of it.
There, I just posted it on Facebook in the gamers thread. There's one from 2013. With some minis.
Okay, there it is. Whoops. Somebody. Gamer thread.
South Central PA Gamers Convention.
Yeah, this is the ones I have pictures from, yeah. They weren't mine, they were somebody else's miniatures. Yeah.
Nicely done too.
Oh yeah, oh they were beautiful. I forget what game that was. I don't think it was Call to Arms.
No, I think it might have been the Luzaki game. Do you remember that?
No.
There was a do you remember Zaki?
Yeah.
Okay. He had a set of rules for miniatures using the Starfleet universe.
Huh.
He had a license for that as well as SFB. But he didn't like do the board game version thing. He right. just did a thing where he put out his miniatures way back in the day and a set of rules for playing with them. 6951. Let's put that one up there too.
Yeah. I've got a few of those. I've got like four different pictures of those miniatures.
I'm surprised you don't have a set of that. I have I had those rules years ago, and I'm not sure if they survived the various moves over the years.
Yeah, I definitely don't have a copy of those rules.
But I remember having them way, way back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Okay. Well, that I'll definitely post those pictures.
And there's Mike, who passed away the other year.
Yeah.
I feel old and nostalgic.
Understood. Well, when we get older, we get nostalgic, especially for those back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I remember taking my bicycle and driving down the sidewalk of Bel Air Road. And this is when I would take my bike and I would ride it for like 10 miles. You know, I lived out in the burbs, where if I wanted to go anywhere other than around my house, you know, around my neighborhood, I actually had to travel a good distance. And this is in the era where my mother would let me ride my bicycle 10 miles away from the house.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that today? You know? So, anyhow, it's getting late. I got to shut this thing down. The only reason I'm not completely collapsing at this moment is because I had a nice nap this afternoon because I'm not working. But anyway, I still got to wake up early tomorrow to go to Mass. So,
yeah. Well, feel free to give me a holler sometime this weekend. I might go work on storage a little bit tomorrow, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as we don't get like snowed in or something weird offhand,
we shouldn't.
Yeah.
My understanding is that we're not supposed to get any more snow. Of course, I didn't think we were supposed to get any snow on Tuesday, but we got snow on Tuesday.
I saw some calls for it saying we would get more snow, but it just wasn't a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Understood.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. You're welcome. Thank
you. Happy New Year to everybody who we might be listening to this later on. I think we are looking at, it'll be a new year for your next podcast.
Yes, it will be. It'll be next podcast. So it's going to be Year's January call. 2nd. Yes. Happy New Year. Okay. You have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
So, a nice review of things past and things future. Obviously, mostly in the past, and you know, hopefully we'll have a good future, especially when it comes to ADB, and hopefully we get the whole Shapeways. Well, I'm assuming they probably won't go back to Shapeways, because I'm not sure if ADB will actually be looking for such a deal. Because again, as I mentioned, they have a lot of models, but I don't think they could actually stock up on all those models. If Shapeways goes that way, and I'm not sure if ADB actually can, if there's any company that actually will do the one, you know, the single serving kind of 3D printing kind of thing that Shapeways was giving, which was great, but not profitable, which is the problem. So hopefully that will be done. Hopefully we'll be, you know, now that ADB has got the smaller batch counters, you know, counter sheets, they can get those products moving out the door. And hopefully with ADB's previous medical issue being behind them, they can all move forward and hopefully get more product out the door. Hopefully, please. The one thing that I think everyone's been waiting on for way too long, and Lord knows that I probably need to even review what I submitted. How many years ago is it now? For Cabot's Log Double Nickel. i.e. number 55, which is supposed to be out the door many years ago at this point, but hopefully they can get it out this upcoming year. I'm not sure how they plan on getting it done, but I'm hoping that they will get it done, because I thought they had most of it done already, but you know, it is what it is. So anyway, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.